So for the second half, our first teller, Stephanie Clark. Stephanie has leveraged Stephen's experience to be a sought-out speaker on many of the issues impacting the queer and senior communities. Oh, you don't look senior, but okay. She addresses discrimination and access to housing and medical institutions, and she uses her life stories to give our youth comfort and understanding that the light at the end of the tunnel doesn't have to be a train. Please welcome Stephanie.
Thank you for the honor to be here. It's kind of nice with my friends, to be with my friends and many of you who are my peers. My topic is called My Mother Always Wanted a Daughter, My Life's Journey. It's 1943. I'm laying around the womb waiting to be pushed out. I can hear my brother, Robbie, say, "I don't want a sister." Time has come for Stephen, the second son in a good Catholic family, to be born. I can't hear, but I feel my mother's disappointment. At least I'm healthy. My mother had two recent pregnancies resulting in miscarriages of female fetuses. So life begins with some disappointment, but hopes of a great future. Maybe a Catholic priest. A usual journey for some second sons, but I knew I was different from age 3. I wasn't like most boys. When I was 6, my mother started making clothes for the next door neighbor girls. She used me as her dress dummy. So I started dressing at age 6. By the time before I was 12, my mother caught me in her underwear. She told me to stop. I couldn't, and I didn't. A girl always remembers her first lingerie. No, that's the start. The feeling when you put the silk up your arms is a tingle that I will never, ever forget. Pardon my nerves. My lingerie were black with silk panels. So that was it. It was a good memory. Still is a good memory. I have probably thrown away more lingerie than most women have bought. As I turned 12, my father was diagnosed with Hodgkin's disease. It had been determined that I would enter the seminary. So the bags were packed. I made arrangements to go to an all-boys school. Well, carried to fulfillment, never a romantic relationship. But I did become the forbidden fruit of all the young ladies of my town. I hadn't been there more than 3 months when I called a call to the proctor's office and told my father had died. I don't think he had given death experience notices very often. So I headed home for the funeral. It wasn't a long distance, but still took me a half a day to get there. Following the funeral, I returned to the seminary. During that summer, I had exposure to girls. Exciting, but nothing. Returning the second year was different. No longer a newbie, my classmates in varying stages of growth and the dynamics changed for them. For me, another call to the proctor's office. My brother had been killed in a car accident. Back home for the ritual, but this time I think I was going to be a little more careful understanding the process. I'm glad I did, because 3 days later, I heard a call from my grandfather's room. I rushed in to have him die in my arms. Now that I knew how to do the funeral arrangements, I began the process for the third time. In a period of 13 months, I went from being the youngest male in the family to being the only male, and I know I'm a female. I went back to the seminary, but didn't make it through more than about 2 months in the third year. My mother's hope of a priest dashed. During high school and college, I presented straight. Many love affairs, but no great success, and no sexual experiences. I met my wife the last year in college. We were married in 10 months. Pretty good closing rate for a CPA. One of the issues a cross-dresser has is, when do you tell the spouse? If you tell them beforehand, you probably never get married. You tell them after, they may hate you for the rest of your life. I chose the latter and got something in between. I did get the better part of the bargain. She knew about my dressing but didn't support it. We were married in Seattle at age 23. We remained married 44 years until her death. But there was always that elephant in the room. Arch has asked me, people said, why did you stay married? It wasn't perfect, but it was better than many of my friends. We did have 3 children, so I was a functioning male. My job required me to relocate several times in my 50 years of business. My wife and I lived in 24 houses in 12 states in the 44 years. I became a corporate gypsy and a problem solver. My first excursions lasted 10 years, working first in Beverly Hills, Boston, New Jersey, it's like a bus schedule, Baltimore, Atlanta, with returning to Seattle, where I became the chief operating officer of Blue Cross of Washington and Alaska. I was very active in the AIDS community when it hit in Seattle, trying to explain to us that if you didn't know you have AIDS, go buy insurance. If I do issue you a policy, make sure you pay your goddamn premiums. But yes, it's true what they say about young boys who go to Alaska. They leave Seattle a 90-pound weakling, coming back a husky fucker. Another falsity as it relates to me. In 1989, I was recruited to Chicago. My wife didn't want to come. She's from Joliet. But I was excited. We negotiated that she could come to Chicago after our youngest, who's now 40, graduated from middle school. We both had our separate lives and private times. Mine centered around dressing and my feminine, and expressing my feminine side. What does a transgender person do when alone in Chicago? They look for a dirty bookstore, check out the advertisements. Welcome to Halstead Street. I even shot for a dominatrix. I was very successful. Her name was Foxy. We stayed friends for over 10 years. Thus commenced my 30 years here in Chicago. My wife's interest went towards arts and travel. She was a trained docent at the Art Institute. She was there for 20 years. She traveled all over Europe, sometimes letting me tag along. Fingers are dry. My wife died after 2 bouts of cancer on a Friday in July 2011. We had a do not resuscitate agreement. I slept in the hospital room for 20 days. When time came, I could only stay in the room as long as her skin stayed yellow. When it turned gray, I had to leave the room until she passed. Her death freed her from her pain, but gave life to Stephanie. I came out the next day. Went to a support group that's next, very next day. There I found out that the girls were gonna have a swim party. So the next week I swam in a girl's swimsuit. The next week we were gonna play golf at Lincolnshire. So I played golf in a skirt from the Red Tees. That was a treat. The next week I came out of the closet that I had inhabited for 68 years. The acceptance of Stephanie by my children has been a work in progress. But I now have my own chosen family. Many of you are here. There was one more death. About 3 years after I came out, my stepfather of 50 years, the only male I really knew, died at 102. His death left me financially secure and be able to begin my formal transition. Returning from the funeral in Wenatchee, I began my research on the process in order to change the gender marker on federal and state documents. The applicant must undergo significant mental health counseling, job training, sex reassignment surgery. These all regulations resulted in significant mental stress and cost. But I wanted it so bad, and now I could afford it. Stephen went to Christmas holidays with his son. This proved to be the last trip as a man. On return, I presented myself at the center on Halsted. I walked up to reception and said, "I need help." Boy, did I get it. I was assigned a young therapist. She was like 24, I'm 72. Vocabulary was the first place that we had to worry about. I didn't know what condoms were. I mean, there's a lot of stuff. But the best thing that ever happened, I found out that the Marriage Equality Act of 2016, which became effective 4 days before I presented myself to the center on Halsted, besides giving right to gay marriage, which is interesting, I can marry a man or a woman, but I can't use the bathrooms in Indiana. But the new rules are based on informed consent. So they spent 3 months just telling me the pros and cons of all the things I wanted to do. There was no longer a requirement sex reassignment surgery, which I was happy for. And I still could get a permanent passport, which I have already used. I was able to accomplish this gender, the new term is gender confirming process in 6 months, where it would have taken 2.5 years in the past. Okay, and I did get a permanent passport. I am now accepted in the gay and lesbian community as a person who attempts to do good and cause no harm. It is for you to decide if I have accomplished that objective. I am standing before you, Stephanie Clark, Renaissance woman, activist, and wannabe storyteller.
Ladies and gentlemen, Stephanie Clark. And although not quite as stylish as the clothes that Stephanie has chosen to wear, this one I hope will stay and not just in the closet.
It Stephanie. Will be worn with pride.
Thank you. Wow. Wow. You got it.